More spring practice chatter. Let's dive into it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
What's up? We're back for the second time today, live, all the way live. And today we're recapping practice again. It's our third practice from the media to see in person, and Auburn's seventh spring practice of spring football. So a lot of stuff to talk about. I got a lot of notes I want to go through and some observations, and then I'll open it up to questions. But I want to go ahead and start with the first question. From the Aubinator, yes, I absolutely got to lay eyes on Bryson Washington. It was glorious. I'll share. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I want to jump right in. Alex Golish. One thing I noticed, he's literally everywhere. It's funny how you can go from drill to drill. I know at least I did. I will go from drill to drill, and then like in a split second, he's there. He sometimes will beat you wherever you're going. I don't know how he does it. So imagine two football fields that are stacked beside each other, okay? Zach is watching the defensive line, which if you're looking at those two rectangles stacked on top of each other, is in like the top of one corner, okay? And then I'm in the bottom of the other corner watching a position. I think Zach was watching defensive line. I'm watching the offense, wide receivers, and quarterbacks. Zach sees him in the defensive drill, working with the defensive lineman, yelling things like violence, 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 which is all awesome. And then I'm like, that's impossible, because I watched him coaching up Duke Smith after he dropped the pass. Like, how does that happen? We're in the same place, but we're in different places, but Golish is in both spots. He's all over the place, man, and I love it. Even into the extra period that we got to saw, the really intense wide receivers versus defensive backs tackling drill that we're going to talk about. I mean, he's fist bumping. He's yelling. He's all over the place. It's fun. It's fun to watch. He's fun to watch. Like, you could get a lot of entertainment. You may not be able to keep up just by watching him throughout practice. So that's just a different – that's just a different vibe. And you heard a lot of the guys – in post-practice, their interviews, Eric Winters, whenever he was asked about Golish, and he was like, intense. Like, intense is the word that he used to describe him. I think that's fair. He is very intense and very intentional in what he's doing. So that was like the first thing right off the bat. Like, literally, Zach and I are as far away from each other as you could possibly be, and Golish is in both drills. I don't know how he did that. I still haven't quite figured out how he did that. But let's jump in. What should we talk about first? I know everybody, you want to talk about quarterbacks, probably. Let's talk about quarterbacks, because I watched them a bunch today, okay? I watched them a lot. I watched a lot of the wide receiver quarterback drills, a lot of the throws. And to me, the most important, I guess the biggest note, a lot of it's the same, but I guess if they probably have done this before, but maybe it's the first time I've really watched it, the deep balls, man. I want to see pushing the ball vertically. And once they kind of finished up their passing drills, like the last thing they did, and this is cool too because they didn't rotate. It's just like boom, 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 boom. They gave each guy, like, I think five deep balls. And you'll see some videos people putting out here or there. But Byram, you know, he drops back and he's throwing just – now, again, it's against air. There's no pressure. There's no defensive line. There's no anything, okay? He's dropping dimes, you know, right on the goal line, like exactly where you want to be. The ball just pierces through the air effortlessly. And he threw five in a row, like right on the money. We're talking about like in stride, no adjustment of the route, no like throttling down because they underthrew it. We're talking about out in front of you on the goal line, exactly like if you were to drop it, in a, you know, drop it down from a ladder right there. I don't think you could have placed it any better. It was just impressive. And then this is kind of a sidebar, but like hearing other players talk about him is so funny and so awesome. Like, we're going to talk about offensive line in a little bit, so y'all just hang out. We got a lot to talk about. So at the end of practice, they're interviewing, you know, Dallas Walker, I think New Boy, and Eric Winters, and they all get asked a question about Byram. And they talk about him in like, it's everybody already knows he's awesome. Like, for example, Dallas Walker, they're like, what offensive player jumps out to you? And he's like, well, you know, I really like to watch how the wide receivers work. And then he said, and of course, Byram, you know, in other words, like, well, that's a given. I mean, I know you probably want me to say it, but like, it's a given, you know, that he's just awesome when he's out there. He really has all of their respect, and that's obviously fun to watch. I got caught in a conversation, missed Tia's deep balls. I thought Hewlett, the ball sails on him a little bit. He didn't quite get on top of it. And then Reese Brush got out there and was throwing laser beams. That kid's impressive. And that kid's, you know, obviously true freshman. So as far as quarterbacks go, that was the rotation, though. It was Byram, Tia, Hewlett, and then Reese. But Reese, to me, in those 5-6 throws was a little bit more impressive than, you know, even Lachlan Hewlett. So could have been a bad day. Could have just been, you know, funky timing or whatever. But Hewlett let a few sail on him. I'm going to go down my list now. So running backs. I saw somebody ask about running back order. Also, get your questions in, and at the end of the show, I'll make sure I go back to the top and go through them. Running back order. Okay, I know, again, I said at the top, the joke was I wanted to lay eyes on Bryson Washington. This was the first time, and I did. That was the very first person I know that the running back stretch on the far end of the indoor, I went straight there. I know, I like beeline straight there, made sure to watch him, get warmed up, get loose and everything. He looks different than any of the guys we have in the running back room. As far as the order goes, the order was strange because he went next to last. So Cobb's first every time. Omar was second. Alvin was third. Meadows was fourth. Washington was fifth. And Davenport was sixth. And I think I said this on Zach's post-practice recap as well, but for those that didn't see it, when I typed that out, I kind of laughed. Because I just listed six guys that are all pretty dang good in the same room. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about guys that have a lot of production, like, already. You have guys that are already have – like, Nekai Davenport had, like, over 600 yards rushing last year. You know, Bryson Washington's been a 1,000-yard rusher. Jeremiah Cobb's been close to a 1,000-yard rusher. And you got Omar and you got Alvin that are both really, really talented young guys. Six dudes, man. Tay Meadows, college, good collegiate production. I think that was the funniest thing. Is like after I typed all that out, I was like, holy cow, that's six guys that all can play. That's a pretty fun room right there. But that was the order, and it was consistent. So like every time they would go do something, that was consistent. They were doing something. This drill is just insane to me, like how you even are able to do all this. But they got the, you know, you see them like they run through the machine that's got the pads, and like you actually have to forcefully go through it. I don't know that I could run full speed and get through it. And then they're rolling this giant ball at your feet as soon as you come out. So you're busting through all those pads, and then you got to avoid this giant medicine ball, and you have to kind of hurdle it. And they were very particular on which foot you pushed off of or which foot went up first. They were very big on, like, the inside leg. And I assume that makes it harder for the tackler coming from that angle. If you lift the leg closest to them when you're jumping, it makes it a lot easier, a lot harder for them to tackle you because, obviously, if the other foot's off the ground – the leg closest to the defender is still right there that they can, you know, get a helmet on. So coaching those little things like that, I really thought was fun to watch. Everybody, so again, nothing was super duper groundbreaking right there. Got to see Bryson. He is just different than all the other running backs. He's just bigger, wider, everything. So that was obviously good to see. I spent a lot of time at the offensive line room. I'm just that to me, everybody, you can talk about Bryson Washington, there's going to be a comment about the offensive line. You can talk about Byron Brown, there's going to be a comment about the offensive line. Oh, it doesn't matter if you can't block. You can talk about the wide receivers. Oh, it doesn't matter if you can't block. So I try to spend a ton of time there because there's so many guys in that room. So here's some of the top notes that I found very interesting that I think have a lot of storylines in and of themselves. So Bear McWhorter obviously looks great, getting a lot of reps at center for the first time that I've seen this spring. Okay, getting a lot of reps at center. And the reason I think that's big is they've got to find a backup center because Cale Ellis is maybe too good to keep off the field. Okay, and what do I mean by that? If Cale's playing guard, that's your backup center playing guard. Okay, so a lot of times you don't want your backup center to get hurt because then you don't have you don't have anybody to turn to if Cole Best gets dinged up. Okay, so they're figuring out another option at backup center because I think Cale Ellis is just too good to keep off the field. I honestly believe that's the reason. Now Cale did rep some at center as well, but he's just too good, man. He's too good. He's too young, and he's big, and I know they want to get him in there and get him to work. So them using Bear to kind of find another option at center, even if it's a third center, find another option, I think it's big, and that's kind of cool. They were high school teammates. So that was a big note right there. Starting offensive line from left to right, one of the big updates was Wilson Zaire, or Zerer, however you pronounce it. I need a pronunciation guide for that. Getting the first team reps at left tackle. Again, Stanton Ramil, still in injury protocol. He was working on the indoor. Yeah, he's working in the indoor, so he's obviously not getting those reps. Wilson getting the left tackle first reps. Ton of conversation around that. Derek Plaz, super steady. Cole Best, super steady. And then Cole Skinner was at right guard. And then Joe Simmons was your right tackle. Joe Simmons is a pro, man. He's really good. He's going to always be out there. I think the biggest question is, does he play right tackle or left tackle, depending on how healthy Stanton is when he, comes back and how much he can do. They switched out in the first group. They rotated in Ty Buster to left tackle. And when they did that, they also put Layer in at right guard and subbed out Cole Skinner. And I thought this was super cool, okay? I thought this was really cool. They would do a rep, and as soon as Layer would get finished with the rep, his head would spin around, and he'd be looking for Cole Skinner, okay? And Cole Skinner, I don't know exactly what he's saying, but he's doing a hand motion. Like, in other words, like, you got to get more like this, or you got to get more like that. He's turning around, and they've both played a ton of football, okay? And they're kind of both competing for the same job. And Layer is looking to Skinner for advice on how to block this particular, this particular call, or getting feedback on how he did. And it's like, man, you got a full-time offensive line coach, you got an assistant offensive line coach, you got an offensive line GA, and then you got Cole Skinner right there. So much like coaching and so much detail in that. I just think that's cool for Cole to be that invested. Like, why would I care when you're trying to – how you do when you're trying to take my job? Like, I would say if it was me, I'd be like, nah, dog, you got to figure it out on your own. That's not how this guy works. I love that. I caught that, and I'll never forget that. I think that's a huge, huge deal. So, again, Layer swapped in at right guard, Buster moved to left tackle. Your second team offensive line, Simmons actually slid over to left tackle. You had Kenneth McManus, which I had to go to the media guide for that one, but a lot of good stuff being said about him. 55, having a really good spring. Left guard, you had Cale Ellis at center. Jacoby Ward, who is physically so impressive. And then Pritchett as well, the freshman at right tackle, who's also really, really physically impressive. I think I was just like sitting there talking with somebody. I can't really remember exactly who, but like so many just dudes. So many dudes. There's so many possibilities of lineups. It's crazy. It really, I mean, that's why the best college teams have carry like 16 linemen. That's why they do that. Four options for those position battles like this. So really cool stuff there. A lot of the stuff they're working on to me seem like they're really focusing on getting the ball, those outside zone plays. They're really focusing on setting that edge. And that feels like that's probably going to be a lot of what you see. Probably because remember when you had Cam, and please don't say that I'm comparing it to Cam, but the inside read with him was such a big part of that offense. You know, he would read the running back would be, you know, you'd have the outside zone with the running back option that he could give or he could keep and go inside. And I think that's probably going to be a big piece of the running game because why not? Byram's 230. You know, he can pound it up in there or he can give it. And these guys, you got these talented backs that can get outside and make something happen. So they really focus on that. They've been talking about how they've had some issues, you know, getting the run established and maybe some of those scrimmage periods. So they were clearly focusing on that aspect of it. Again, the overall line looks really good. A lot of good options. If heaven forbid there's an injury, like it just feels like there's multiple guys that you could point to make it work. I talked about Ramil being in the indoor. Same guys. Champ was in there as well. Neptune. Chris Murray still earning his way back on, you know, into the lineup. Boardingham, and then that's everybody. That's everybody's on the injury protocol, conditioning, whatever it is they do on the inside, you know, instead of all those contact drills. So I had a moment. I've done this multiple times now. Okay, I've had a moment where I call it a dat dude moment. Okay, Jacquez Wilkes was one practice where I'm like, who the heck is that dude? And let me look at what number this is. Okay. In my that dude moment for today was DJ Broaden. If y'all remember, he's from, I believe, Baker High School down in Florida. He was committed to South Florida as a tight end. And we flipped him at the last minute. He wears number 87. And I was like, man, who the heck is that dude? He's huge. I mean, he's 6'5", 6'6", and super lean. And when I say lean, I ain't talking about skinny. I'm talking about just cut up dude out there running some wide receiver routes and also running, obviously, the tight end routes. Really, really good-looking young player. Have no idea what role he's going to have on this year's roster, but that could be one to pay attention to down the road. Maybe arguably the best-looking tight end as far as put together of that whole bunch. Jake Johnson, still your guy there, made another pretty catch today in those, you know, quarterback wide receiver drills. He's going to be a factor for sure. All right, keep on moving down the notes. Here's another one. I've only seen one wide receiver get the amount of coaching one-on-one. Let me back this up. I've only seen one wide receiver. I really maybe have only seen one player get the most attention from Golish. And I'm talking about one-on-one coaching. At all those places he goes to, there's one player I feel like gets the most attention from Golish, and that's Duke Smith. Duke drops a pass. Golish appears out of nowhere, and he's coaching him one-on-one. hey, I want you to go back and do this rep, and then I want you to come talk to me, and we're going to talk through it. That doesn't really happen with anybody else. But he seems very focused on Duke Smith, and I think it's because he is so incredibly physical and athletic. He's a Deebo Samuel type player that you could just get the ball in space, and he's so physical, he's going to beat that guy one-on-one in a open field tackle scenario more times than not. So it's like, man, you got to get this guy. I got to get this guy ready, because if Keyshawn Singleton goes down, if Jeremiah Koger goes down, I could put this guy in and maybe not miss a beat. But that is something I've noticed every practice I've been there. There's been some one-on-one, some type of interaction with Golish and Duke Smith that I haven't seen really with anybody else. So really good stuff there. I already talked about Byram's deep balls. This is fun. So today we got an extra period. We usually only get an X amount of periods at the same time every single practice. Well, they let us see an extra period today. And I think I know why. And I'm actually going to talk about that on my show tomorrow. But in this period, I saw the wide receivers and the defensive backs kind of going in the same general area. So I was like, boom, here we go. I want to go see some one-on-one wide receiver versus DB stuff. We haven't seen that yet. But it wasn't routes, okay? It wasn't like the quarterbacks were over there and they were throwing routes. What they did was it was a wide receiver versus DB, like, point of attack tackling drill. And they had a 4 to 5 yard separation, and the wide receiver had the ball, and they said go, and they collided, and it was just mega physical. And that drill really does favor, I think, the wide receiver maybe, just because they have such a downhill like job there. And you know, the DB sort of like playing catch and like don't get faked out at the same time. So Keyshawn Singleton just destroyed whoever he went up against every time he got up there. He's physically, y'all are going to be so impressed when you see him in person. I mean, so physically put together. Like he looks different than anybody we had last year. He's big. He's long, and he's thick too. Like, it's just, man, he will just run right over you. I talked about Duke Smith. Duke Smith got one of the bigger reactions of Golish, maybe of the whole practice. He literally walked over the chest of, I believe it was Shamar Arnaud, so much so they made him do it again. They made him go through the rep again, bless his heart. It was fun to watch. But they did that just for 5 minutes, just boom, collision after collision after collision, and it gets you jacked up. Like, it's good to watch some stuff like that. I think from the defensive side, Zach spent the most of the time on the defense, and I didn't really get to see hardly any of it, but he did say J.J. Falk seems to be emerging on that side as, like, your true buck, edge, pass rusher, whatever you want to call it, like the stand-up, you know, get after the quarterback guy. And then Deshaun Womack is still, man, he's still a consistent on the end. So it doesn't seem like that's changing anytime soon. I know some people were like kind of put off that I was talking about starters in my show this morning. It's like, it's pretty obvious. Like, I'm not necessarily saying anything that's groundbreaking. Like, you can just watch and you can tell what guys are like the guy. Like, you can tell already for a lot of them. So that's pretty much it as far as notes from today. I want to go through a lot of the questions. We already answered the one about Bryson Washington. Daniel Moultrie asking, is Cock back to full strength? I think that was probably a joke. I don't know that he was ever injured. And I'm the honest, I have not watched them kick a single ball. They are kicking while the other guys are stretching. Okay, so Maybe I'll do that next time. I have not watched a single kick. All I did, you know, Alex said at the end of that first practice when he was available for the media, he's back at, you know, full strength. So he's kicking. I think they said he's kicked them from 60 again. He looks like he's gained weight. So that's really good stuff. Shout out Devin, finally catching the live show. Fired up to have you here. Thanks for being here. Let's see. I see a lot of booging over the cliff. We're going to win it all. I see that. That's really hilarious. Let's see. Let's keep going through. See, we talked about the running back room. I see somebody talking about the 7-footer we got in basketball. I got a pronunciation of his name. It's Narcissi Noy. Narcissi Noy. So remember that. His highlight's hilarious because he does like the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook, but it ends in a dunk. Every single one. He's just like, oh, boom, and I dunked on you. I asked about the competition he plays in, and they were like, it's about, they would say it's probably close to 80% of what you would get in the G League in America. So not quite G League level, but really close. And he's, you know, double-double. You know, what was it, 10 and 12, and I think he has like 3 blocks a game. Man, I wish he could play Thursday. You know, that would be fun. I mean, we need him on this team like right now. So he could be pretty good. I see people talking about wanting to hear about the offensive line. We talked about that. Is Shamar Arnaud hurt? Okay, that was something that Zach and I were looking for today. I think he was a little bit dinged up, and like as spring's gone on, he's gotten more healthy. But he hasn't really jumped up into that starting role yet. And like I said, from a tackling perspective, which Zach said, you know, Zach's the DB guy. He's like, I know tackling's important, but do I really care if my DBs can't win a, you know, a one-on-one like Oklahoma drill? Like, I just want them to figure out some way to get the guy on the ground. It doesn't have to be powerful. It doesn't have to be like super physically impressive. Just get it done. Shamar got, you know, people got the best of him in that particular drill. And then I couldn't really see as far as, you know, how he rotated in. So I think to answer that question, yes, he was hurt. He's gotten better. And as he's gotten better, he's played a little bit more. And he's kind of getting his feet underneath him. But he's nowhere near, like, I think, at least from my perspective, challenging for that starting spot opposite of Andre Jordan yet. Are they doing any punt return or kick return yet? I haven't seen it. I don't believe they've gotten in the periods that we can watch. I don't think that's the case. I think what I have heard is that Christian Neptune's one to watch as far as punt return. I think that's actually how he got hurt. Maybe dinged him hammy or something hurt 2 Saturdays ago, and he's been kind of working his way back there. What is your biggest concern? Devin says, what's your biggest concern from the new practices you have seen? Any glaring deficiencies? That's a really good question. I still think it's not so much of a concern as it is you just don't know. And it's going to be it's still pass rush. It's always going to be pass rush until we see it. So I don't think it's necessarily a deficiency. It's just not as much of a sure thing. You know, you just don't feel quite as confident there as you do. You look across the board and you see like proven production all over the place. Any freshman catching your eye? I talked about Bear McWhorter today. Thought he's very impressive. Getting snaps at backup center. I already mentioned DJ Broughton. He's very impressive. All of the, you know, offensive line guys that are young are very impressive. Brian Williams Jr. is impressive. He's big. He's real big, guys. He's long, man, 6'4". He's going to continue to get – I think he's only going to continue to get bigger. He could probably play at, you know, 205 and still be 210 and still be super smooth and just be an A.J. Green type wide receiver. So he obviously looks really good. How's the movement skills of the tackles in pass protection? So I don't get we the primary drills that we saw a lot of were firing off the ball, keeping your pad level low, run blocking, which fits the run the piss out of the ball mantra that Golish has. So haven't seen a ton of pass blocking sets or drills. I haven't even seen a defensive end versus like defensive line versus offensive line at all. Like we haven't got to see that at all. So it's hard to know. See a lot of folks saying they've been, you know, high on Alvin Henderson. He looks really explosive. He's got like a class or something that starts like around this time, like the time that practice needs to let out. So he's always kind of getting out a little bit early, which is cool to see. But he's still, you know, he's making, I mean, if that rotation means anything, like he's, you know, in the mix, like they see enough of him to have him going third, which I think is pretty big. Let's keep going. Yeah, Zaire was at left tackle. Very, I know. I mean, that he's, you know, cracking into the starting lineup while Stanton's out. He looks good. He's, you know, right at 300 pounds. So that's really, really cool. Really cool stuff. Good luck trying to tackle Byron Brown in the open field. Yeah, I know. Good luck with that. Let's see here. Is there a printable roster somewhere? Yes. If you search Auburn football roster, once you get past Google populating Zach's face onto Keyshawn Singleton's roster spot, you click it, they have a spring roster on Auburn's website. So go to the spring roster. You can filter by position. You can filter by number. You can filter by last name. It's updated. Depth and competition, exactly what you want on the offensive line. Completely agree. Completely agree. Let's see here. Continuing to scroll down. What's up, Zach Dixon? How are you, man? Sam Turner. I see some Sam Turner comments. He's not been dressed out fully this whole camp. Remember, he's coming back from a foot or an ankle or some kind of lower leg injury. He's moving more. And I don't understand this. I don't really, and maybe this would be a question to ask. I don't understand why he's with the wide receivers when they're doing their drills, and then the other injured guys will be in the indoor actually running around, and Sam doesn't even have like pads on. So I wonder if like that's the next phase. Like once he hits a certain mark in his rehab, he'll go to the indoor and run around until they achieve whatever they need to achieve, and then he'll get out there to practice. So that's something kind of interesting. Dixieland Delight period. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. I don't want to spoil that, because I think that's really cool, by the way. It's something really cool. It's going to be tomorrow's show. Dude doesn't miss. Let's just say that. Alex Golish don't miss. He don't miss anything. Let's see. Let's keep going. I think that's getting pretty close to the end. Let's see. Yeah, I think we're kind of hitting the end here. And yep. Does Chris Murray have a number yet? No, he's not. How's the safety room looking? Awesome. They're so good. We spoke to Eric Winters and Anquan Fagans today. And you still got Caleb Harris out there. Like, safety and linebackers are loaded. That is a loaded two room. So, guys, I really appreciate y'all jumping in here. This is a ton of fun to do after a practice, kind of like decompress and like start reliving what all I saw and go into the details of it. Really good stuff. So I appreciate y'all jumping in. We're going to do this the rest of spring, okay? So thank y'all, and we will be back again. I'll be back again with the live show tomorrow morning. So going to be talking about period five, okay? Period five, you're going to like it. You're going to like it. Y'all take care. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.